Hail cheaters. Welcome to the Always Dream Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Great, Josh. A 5-1 victory for the U.S. men over Panama is a great way to leave your FPL troubles behind. So it looks like U.S. might actually qualify for the World Cup, which is fun. Yeah. Fun for us over here.
Pretty good, yeah. And, you know, nowadays it's just hard to explain how annoying it was when we didn't make the World Cup 4 years ago. Like, annoying because we didn't get to watch it. But then, like, if you are in the United States and you're creating, you know, soccer/football content, to not have your team qualify for the World Cup was not great.
Yeah, yeah. Excitement in the States or just around football, soccer generally ramped down. So here we are. Yeah. We are ramping up. Speaking of ramping up, the whole idea of this particular episode of Always Cheating is a lot of you out there might have just tuned out FPL stuff for the last week or so.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you miss? It's sort of like, where are we now? What happened on last week's episode of FPL?
Yeah, you may not want to listen to last week's episode, Brian. Our episode last week was, unbeknownst to us until after we like published it, put out there, the most controversial episode of the Always Cheating Podcast that we've ever created, Brandon.
How did that happen? It was about fun.
It was supposed to be about fun. The idea was make fantasy fun again. It was like how to do it. And somehow something got lost in the framing. And it sounded, to some ears, we got you know, good feedback and bad, good and bad. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't want to say it was all bad. But some ears, especially in my case, as somebody who's 33K overall, it sounded like I was just complaining. And that was a very common complaint. And it was like the rich guy complaining about property taxes was how it came off to some people. And so not my intention, but and I don't even own a home, Brandon. So, you know, I don't really know, you know, it was a flop in so many ways. So, so this time we're getting back to, as you like to say, Brandon, all the time, you say, 10, 12 times a day, we're getting down to brass tacks on this week's podcast, Brandon, and fantasy talk. That's what this podcast is about. It's about fantasy. It's about you and I, we're hosts, we're men, you know, but that's secondary. Okay. How we feel. Because last week's podcast was what does FPL say about you? You know, it was like we kind of did like the FPL psychologist chair. Mm-hmm. And some people don't like what it says about them or us or anything, Brandon. So,
No, you don't want to look within yourself. You just want to look at the 15 men, as you call them, Josh, in your FPL squad. So let's do that. We've got doubles actually happening in game week 31. Lots of questions about game week 33 and 36. Who are the teams? This is just like, as I'm fond of saying, Josh, brass tacks. Who are the teams and who are the players?
Teams, teams, teams. Okay. Yeah. Sports, sports, sports. Let's get into it. So before we do, and this, there's really no preamble this time around, Brandon, because we're here and all of my NCAA tournament picks are out. Nothing to talk about there. You know, Academy Awards, not as into it this year as I have been in other years. So we're getting right into it. I did want to quickly say, if you want to support the podcast, thank you to Brian Fay, our newest Patreon supporter. If you want to say thanks, support the cheater. Yeah, I know. Especially this late in the season, to get any support at all is always a nice boost for our self-esteem. You can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to support the pod. Brandon, we have a new end of season league.
We do. If you needed a reason to throw a few pennies in the Always Cheating supporters jar, here's the reason. And this goes for you existing supporters as well. We're kicking off the end of season Forever Young League. And what does that mean? We're starting a special mini league on the FPL site for our supporters beginning on the game week 32 deadline. So just be a supporter before the game week 32 deadline on Patreon, and you'll receive our Forever Young League code for a straight up start from scratch, 0 points mini league. Everyone is back to a level playing field. You're back to your young, beautiful self. Yep. And whoever wins is going to get a $250 cash prize courtesy of us, Cheating Men, and your choice of whatever you want from our Always Cheating digital shop.
Yeah. Are we doing, so we're doing cash or are we doing like a gift card?
Yeah, you know,
American some legal,
American Express will hook us up with a gift card. We'll beam that over to you via email, and then you can spend it on whatever you want. I don't even want to know what you spend it on.
Yeah, don't tell us. We don't want to see the receipts. You know, it's it's a dirty business, Brent. So that's awesome though. The Forever Young League. I'm excited. I like the idea of starting scratch late on like this too. It's kind of fun, and I think after Game Week 32, it starts on what should be a non-double as well. So you know, it's a somewhat clean start for everybody. And, you know, if you support the podcast, even if you don't win that Forever Young League, you get an extra podcast each week. You get the Manager of the Month award, the regular award, that is, the Slack chat, week in review newsletter, et cetera, et cetera. Yep. So on that note, Brent, I want to get right into the discussion. Let's take a quick break and we'll get into Game Week 31 talk. So Game Week 31 is here, Brandon. We are... I think the most important thing to do here is we got a lot of stuff to talk about, right? We can talk about our teams in a little bit. But I think international break, they get, you know, the first one or two of the season are the most annoying because you're the most excited, you know, and you're just like, all right, like I'm loving this. This is so much fun. Why do you have to break it up right now? I'm ready to activate my first wild card, whatever. But the last one can break the back of some people, right? It's like, there's a lot going on in life. Spring break, you know, is happening or starting to happen. There's, you know, I mean, obviously Academy Award in the United States, with all kinds of stuff going on right now. Academy Award.
Just the time change, Josh, has annihilated my conscience.
Masters is kicking off in a week. You know, lots of stuff going on, Brandon. Mm-hmm. So we thought what we'd do is just remind everybody what's going on. What do we got, you know, right in front of us and what's happening over the next few weeks. So, you know, we're heading to Game Week 31. There's 8 weeks left in the season. Season will end in the middle of May. I'm not going to go through every single detail here, Brandon. But in Game Week 31, Everton and Burnley have double game weeks. All right. Mm-hmm. So Everton, they play away to West Ham and away to Burnley. And Burnley play home to Man City and home to Everton. Your classic B-minus game week for both teams, really. It's a tricky one.
Yeah, and we have a third cheater this week. We have Admiral Akbar on the podcast to talk to us about this double game week. Admiral, what do you have to say? Josh, he says it's a trap.
Yes, it feels that way. And it's sort of, you know, it's a trap. It's an opportunity, you know. Sometimes those are, sometimes opportunities are traps, of course. But sometimes opportunities truly are opportunities, right? There are times when at the very least, it gives you... You know, I mean, it's 3 weeks ago, was it now, when you had Philip Coutinho just go absolutely off in a double game week. Yeah. I think it was game week 28. And, you know, that's always the hope, right? I mean, Philip Coutinho is not a universally owned player. He's a player who is likely to get you 2 points as an attacking return. And but he just, you know, absolutely went off in that double. And I think it was, what, 2 goals and 2 assists, I think, ultimately. Mm-hmm. And that's always the hope with the doubles, that you're going to hit on that one player who's got sub 50% ownership, and he just absolutely goes off. So I think there are some contenders between these teams. I mean, obviously Weghorst is the one, and he's sort of in that Chris Wood mold, you know, mm-hmm. where obviously he was basically the replacement for Chris Wood, but you know, it's that sort of striker in the box on a team that has a lot of set pieces, right? Like there are like, just, he could just nick a goal just through chance. And it's kind of shocking to me that he only has 1 goal so far since joining Burnley. It feels like he's had a lot more opportunities. He should have at least 2 or 3.
I agree. It is shocking. And I think Weghorst is probably the most contentious FPL issue heading into 31, because a lot of people are wondering, what could I do with it? Could I find a forward? I'll play the 3-5-2. Or 4-5-1, and not have to worry about any other striker than Harry Kane. Maybe Broja with Southampton's double coming up in game week 33. I'm struggling to find a way in my personal team, and we'll talk about my wild card perhaps at some point, to find an upgrade in my midfield for whatever savings I get for not having Weghorst. So my personal view is 6.4 for a guy who's under 5% owned in the game, who has 5 fixtures in 3 game weeks, is just worth another go. It didn't work out, but listen, I think a lot of people sting from looking at Weghorst because we all captained him the last time Burnley had a double game week. That, I think, is probably the bigger lesson learned, is like, don't shove all in on a player like this. But it's still, I feel like it's the opposite of detrimental to your FPL team to have Weghorst.
Yeah, and I think you're right to add a little context there, because it's not just, you know, if you just look at 32 in a vacuum, you might think, well, Man City at home, that's a blank for him most likely. And Everton at home is good, but I mean, you know, Burnley, like, that's a pretty tight match for Everton as well. Really important match for them too, right? Relegation battle. So, yeah. You know, it's possible but unlikely that turns into a high scoring affair. But next week they play Norwich away, and Norwich are terrible. I mean, honestly, yeah. They are. And so I think that, you know, he could do something in that match. And the following week they have Southampton at home and West Ham away. So it's really four, I'd say. I mean, West Ham away, I think, is probably a reasonably decent fixture for him as well, honestly. I mean, West Ham are not, you know, defense is not, they've had a great season, but defense is not really their strengths, right? So, so really you could look at the next three game weeks and see four pretty good fixtures for Weghorst. And, you know, if we want to expand beyond him a little bit, I think there are, you know, some players that you could at least consider. I mean, you know, I can't do the Aaron Lennon thing. You know, I just can't. He's cheap. So if you need like a fifth bench player, sure, like toss him in there. You know, I think he's at least in the conversation with a couple other guys. We're actually going to talk about them a little bit later. McNeil is the one who has at least shown some form. I mean, you wouldn't know it by looking at the zero goals and one assist that he has so far in the season. But he has had some moments. And the one that's like the full wild card to me is Max Cornet. And, you know, he's 6 goals in the season, hasn't actually scored one of these goals since game week 21, mm-hmm. which another thing I just don't get. I don't, like, there's a lot of things that I just don't get right now about the, you know, you can extend this out to Chris Wood at Newcastle, and Chris Wood when he was at Burnley. Like, Burnley really should be, I don't even talk about like XG here. I just mean like in terms of just like the way that they play, they should have more goals this season than they do. Right. Because it's just like if you have a ton of set pieces, like things are like something's going to happen. Right. The ball's going to fall on the right head at the right moment. Yeah. Right. This is just like sort of the nature of these things. Right. You put yourself in a position, even if the possibility is low that anything's going to happen on one particular one, you know, add enough of them up and, you know, you're going to score more goals. And that's kind of how they've survived for all these years. And this just this year, the ball has not, you know, fallen on the right head. So to speak. And, you know, so it's just, you know, I think that Weghorst still has a lot of potential. The midfield is a you know, it's just a total crapshoot. Honestly, it is. And I think the only, you know, other, so, you know, could you really justify spending that much money in any of them? Any of the midfielders? I don't think so. You know?
No, I think just same goes for Everton here. One of these guys is enough. Plenty.
Yeah.
I'm looking at how do I change up my team on a wild card, and the doubles just throughout the course of the rest of the season aren't really factoring into my thinking at all. Yeah. I am focused on just getting players from Chelsea, Liverpool, and Manchester City, and you and Arsenal, I think, works there too. Obviously, but you can't have a 15 guys from those four teams. You'll have holes to plug, and I will happily plug a hole with Anthony Gordon from Everton and Weghorst from Burnley.
Yeah.
There's enough marginal upside there.
It's really a shame that Dominic Calvert-Lewin hasn't been able to kind of reclaim. I mean, this guy who scored 16 goals last season, you know, and unfortunately, I mean, you just missed so much time through injury. And I think he's even re-aggravated those injuries, right? It's just been sort of just, it's a lost season for him, unfortunately. You know, this happens though. I mean, it's happened to your boy, Kevin De Bruyne, you know, a couple of years ago, right? Where he just had this terrible injury riddled season, and then he came back and he was fine the next year. Right. And this is something that does happen even to the best players. So I think that, you know, it doesn't, but this year feels like it's just a little too risky to put your faith in Calvert-Lewin. And Richarlison is, I'm kind of confused by him as well, right? Because I just don't know how a player of his caliber can only have 4 goals and 3 assists on the season. I mean, you know, you had 7 and 6 the year before. It's just odd to me. You had 13 and 5, 13 the year before that as well. I mean, like, a player of Richarlison's talent should never have only 4 goals in the season. This guy, like, I know that you in some ways are only as good as the team around you, but there's a long history of players who sort of take their team by the, my boy Santi Cazorla, Brandon, for example, take a mediocre team by the scruff of their neck, you know, and I mean, Rafinha, look at what Rafinha has done, right? Yeah. I mean, you could argue that Rafinha is in a similar position as Richarlison. I mean, his Leeds squad that much stronger than Everton's? I don't think so.
play style, perhaps. I mean, coming off of sure. Rafa Benitez, who favors a more defensive style, where sure. Rafinha sure. has been flourishing in a more attacking style at Leeds, I think that plays into it, too. And, you know, I feel like it's hypocritical to say, well, what's wrong with Richarlison? That's a no-go zone, whereas Weghorst is. I think Weghorst is... there is cheap, where Weghorst is 6.4 and people would complain 6.4 is too expensive for Weghorst. Yeah. And then I would complain that 7.5 is too expensive for Richarlison. Yeah. I'm meeting in the middle here, Josh. But I feel like you start going sub 6 million. I don't know if any of these guys are even going to play. And yeah. that's fine if you're playing a different formation where you only need one striker and Harry Kane. But I think the situation you're in with players like Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin are a lot like what we might talk about with Manchester United in a moment, where value for money is a huge problem.
Yeah. I guess
the ripple effect throughout the rest of your team.
I actually think the defense, even though that's been really disappointing for both these squads as well, is at least an area you could consider. I think that you have Connor Roberts, 4.4 million for Burnley, 4 clean sheets in the last 10. So not bad, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not a player that I'd be, like, excited to start, especially with Man City as mm-hmm. one of these two fixtures. But, you know, but I think, you know, if you see him as a long-term investment, if you still have a bench boost, you know, I could see some value there for him. Yeah. You could also consider someone like a Mason Holgate, who is, you know, the bench for him is, you know, it's like, yeah, he's not like a player that you'd be excited about bringing in, but he's 4.2 million, right? He's incredibly cheap. And they have this double in game week 31, and then and actually it's very useful because they have the double in 31, and then so if like you have Trent Alexander-Arnold doesn't play in game week 31, as seems likely, mm-hmm. he's like a perfect kind of like just stick him in there and, you know, see what you can get out of those two fixtures. And what makes him really valuable is that there are two unconfirmed two to be played matches that have not been slotted in yet for Everton. That's a home match against Crystal Palace and an away match to Watford. So two pretty good fixtures, like two mm-hmm. not bad fixtures for a defender. So, you know, as kind of an enabler, as a cheap, you know, fifth bench player, I like someone like Holgate. I mean, you know, you could spend a little more on someone like Seamus Coleman. But honestly, there's just not a lot of attack and returns there from kind of anyone. So you might as well just go with the cheapest option and Holgate.
Yeah, I totally agree. Anthony Gordon, I think, sticks out just because of his yeah. price tag at 4.5. And he's starting virtually every game under Lampard. And he can be that fifth midfielder if you need him. If Everton yeah. have a bad fixture, then just he's on your bench and you're paying no penalty across the rest of your team budget-wise.
Yeah, there's kind of a couple of those, right? You got your boy Aaron Lennon. You know, I know you're a huge fan. You've got Aaron Gordon. You got the Aarons, and then you have Ramsey too on Villa. And I think I would even though they don't have a double in 31, like if I was wildcarding in 31, I'd probably still opt for Ramsey unless I needed a starter for 31, because Villa still have a couple of unplayed matches to make up, a couple home mm-hmm. matches. One's home to Burnley, one's home to Liverpool, which isn't great, but he's been really strong, Ramsey, at moments. I mean, like given his price, I think that you're really getting a lot out of him. I think he's a little more expensive. I think he's 4.8 million. So, mm-hmm. You know, so I think there are a few options there. I think I go for him just because he's proven he can score, you know, sure. which is more than you could say for the other two gents.
Sure. Okay, so that's Burnley Everton. I don't think we need to drag this out too much further. There is lots of other stuff happening right now during yeah. the international break that's going to carry.
We gave that a solid, you know, they got a solid bit of discussion there, Brandon. That was probably as much as it was needed, you know. Yep. And now we can. Yep.
It was the perfect amount. Perfect.
It was. Yeah. Congrats to us. Trent Alexander-Arnold is to be determined. I talked about him a second ago. Here's the situation. He, you know, he was. Much like Aaron Ramsdale, who we also don't know about, Klopp came out and said it'll be some weeks because of a hamstring injury. We know that he traveled to the Middle East and was photographed walking into a pitch, but it was also like possibly a promotional photograph because like his sponsor was like featured really mm-hmm. prominently in the photo. So okay. it could be that he wasn't actually going to train and he was just looking like he was to sell you know, shoes or whatever. Yeah. But we at least know that he's healthy enough to be taking Instagram photos, Brandon. That's always a good, you gotta be very healthy to
tell me about it. Yeah. I don't have a lot of posts, myself. That's good. I mean, the fitness of Liverpool players, I think, is really crucial to people wildcarding right now, because knowing I had a wild card gave me the freedom to get rid of Mo Salah for Liverpool's blank in game week 30. And I feel like that is really the strength of a wild card right now, is to get Mo Salah back in, at least for me, because he is so expensive. Like, if you're just looking to change things on the margins, I think you could probably hang on to your wild card for a while longer. But anyway,
I think it's really unlikely that he plays in 31. I mean, if you look at what's to come after 31, you've got Benfica away at midweek. So you have a game week 31, and then I think it's like 4 days later. Liverpool play the early match too in 31. So you play 31, and then 4 days later they play Benfica, and then 4 or 5 days after that, whatever that, you know, I think they play on Tuesday in Benfica, and then on Sunday they play Man City, right? So that's that's the season. So I think you can safely assume that you're able to defeat Watford. Although who knows? I mean, they lost to them the year they won the title, but you know, most likely they're going to win that game. And so you know, it doesn't seem like you would risk, especially with a hamstring. That's like the nothing seems to get re-aggravated more than like a dodgy hamstring, right? So so unlikely, I think, for him to play in that one. And you know, I think so. In my case, that actually is affecting my transfer decisions this week, because I might need like a pinch hitter. Like I might need somebody to come in and play a job for me defensively for a week or two. And so, which actually is kind of tricky. We'll talk about this in a second, but I don't love any of the defenders for double game week 33. Like there's I'm not like blown away with any of the defensive options there. And so, you know, I would probably be focused more on the fixtures in 31 and 32, and then thinking about the doubles down the line. Like I think rather than bring in a defender who doubles in 33, I'd be much more likely to bring in someone like Rudiger, you know, and just sort of solve that future problem, right? Because Chelsea have two matches to make up as well. And even though those aren't going to happen in the next couple of weeks, I don't have a wild card. And so every transfer has to be made with like thinking of these 8 game weeks sort of as a whole, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you can't just look at the game weeks, the next 2 or 3, you've got to think about everything, you know? And it's like, I remember Walk Hard, Brandon, you know?
I sure do.
In the beginning of that, where Tim Meadows is like, oh, before he walks out there, he's got to think about every single moment he's ever lived in his entire life. Right. And that's how I am, Brandon. Before I make every transfer, I got to think about every single game week, you know, every single game that's going to happen over the next 8 weeks. So, yeah, it definitely makes things tricky. And I've gotten very off track here. So let's get back on track. I mentioned game week 33. It really is important to keep this in mind, especially if you don't have a wild card. If you do, it's obviously important too, but you kind of knew that. But if you don't, you've really got to be thinking about 33. And here's the crucial thing: is not only is it a double, but you have three teams that don't play at all, right? Leeds, Wolves, Villa don't play. Brendan, I have 5 players from those three teams on my squad right now.
Yeah, so you're going to be probably burning a few points over the next few weeks.
I don't know. It's going to be tricky. I've got 2 transfers in hand right now.
Okay. So you can get rid of 4 of those guys for free. And then, of course, you have a bench in 33, so you could bury a non-playing guy on your bench. So that's not a problem. Okay. You're okay.
It's okay, but it's not, you know, but again, like none of those players are super expensive. So it's not like it's not like I have like some 11 million guy that I can drop to fund Ronaldo or something like that. You know what I mean? And so it's like, it makes for kind of boring moves unless I burn 4, you know, and take out somebody big. So Leeds, Wolves, Villa blank, and the teams that double in 33, Man United, Leicester, Arsenal. I feel like those are kind of the big 3, right? And then you've got Newcastle, Southampton, Brighton, and Burnley.
Newcastle might have one of the better doubles, though, as they have 2 home matches, Leicester and Crystal Palace. So certainly
That's true.
Chris Wood, the Veghorst 1.0 is a thought there. Yep. I don't dislike Newcastle there, but I think it's like, this is why when I'm plotting my wild card, I'm just not really focusing on these doubles, because I don't want to carry. It's like you looking at, We built up all these Wolves and Villa players looking at their playing in game week 30. Yeah. There was a Wolves double, of course. And now I don't want to have any of these guys, and I want to get rid of them. And I feel like game week 33 is just going to be another opportunity to get in players that I don't want to carry for the rest of the season. So I go through these teams and like, well, which ones actually appeal? Manchester United have like the great reversal fixture of Norwich followed by Manchester City, or I don't know if it's vice versa. It's Norwich at home, then Liverpool away. And we all saw what Liverpool did to Manchester United earlier this season. And I just like, again, it's that conversation I was starting about Bruno at 11.4, like just like how that is going to change the shape of the rest of your team, spending that much money on him just to get him in for basically half of a double. I really do not feel like it's worth it. So maybe we can talk about free hit chips in a little while.
Yeah.
And so that's where Leicester becomes more appealing, because Harvey Barnes is cheaper at 6.6 and is somebody who you can kind of work into your team a little more easily.
Yeah. I mean, Harvey Barnes, I think we're going to have to talk about Jadon Sancho too, Brandon. You know, I don't want to do it either. You know, now I've sort of, I made one straight comment about Jadon Sancho and I've been paying for it for months, sometimes I forget that, you know, Twitter's not like a bar. You know, if you say something dumb at a bar, Brandon, everybody just forgets about it, you know?
Yeah, right.
10 minutes later, they're like, oh, he had a couple drinks, you know? But if you have a couple drinks and you say something dumb on Twitter, the rest of your life, people are going to be sharing clips of the player that you insulted, you know, in your Twitter feed. So, I have certainly come around. It wasn't like I never rated him. He just hadn't revved up, you know? It just took him a little while to do that. And
right. Go back to game week 24. Sancho's got 6 starts and 7. 2 goals, 2 assists. He's playing the full 90 most of these matches. 8.9, how does that strike you, though, Josh?
Well, I mean, it's not great, but it's not impossible either, right? Yeah. It's sort of, and what I like about it, we can talk about this more in a second. What I like about it is let's say I do this Weghorst move. Let's say I do that and maybe I hold the other transfer, which is possible. You could bring in Sancho just for 33, and then you could move him to Kai Havertz after that. And Havertz is in that similar awkward price point. So if you sort of commit yourself to the awkward price point, then you could, in theory, get 2 of Sancho followed by, 4. I mean, I'm talking about double game weeks here, but, followed by 4 of Havertz, assuming he starts those. I mean, this is always the problem with Chelsea midfielders is, you're sort of it's like having Mahrez, it's like, well, yeah, right. If you get him at the right time, it's awesome, but you also are just as likely to get 0 or 1 points. And I mean, not just as likely, but like 1 in every 3 times, you're going to get nothing. And that's
the thing with Havertz, unlike Mahrez, is what Tuchel has found is he doesn't have a like for like replacement at this time for Havertz, whereas Mahrez, Pep has got 4 or 5, 6 or 20 guys.
That's true.
They could take Mahrez's place.
That's true. And Mahrez can really only play, on the right. And it feels like Havertz is more of like a Swiss Army knife. Like he's just, you can play him as a forward. You can play him as a number 10, he's just like, you can play him on the wings. It's just super talented.
And last 4 matches for Havertz, 90. Now that is him sort of coming out of the wilderness.
Yeah.
Starting in game week 26, but he plays the full 94 straight matches with 4 goals to his name there and 1 assist.
Yeah.
So I guess I think what you have to weigh there is, if you don't have any chips left, is why maybe just get Havertz instead of Sancho?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting, right. So let's look at the next three fixtures. You've got Man United play Leicester at home, Everton away. They've got this double, and it's a, as you just mentioned, it's a classic up and down double, right? Where they've got a really good match in Norwich and then a really bad one away to Liverpool, followed by away to Arsenal, not a good match either. They have to go. They play Brentford at home. Sure, that's a good match. And then away to Brighton, not good. They play Chelsea, and then away to Palace. And that's in 38. And 38, it's like you can't plan for 38, because 38 is like, who knows? Like it kind of depends. They may have nothing to be play for, and they just play like a bunch of youth. It's like you never really know what's going to happen in game week 38. So it should never really be part of your thinking. So I think maybe you're right. And then you look at Chelsea. They play Brentford at home. Great match. Mm-hmm. Southampton away. Great match. Mm-hmm. Arsenal at home. Fine. Not bad. Mm-hmm. And then they've got West Ham at 34. And then let's see, the matches that they still have to make up at some point are Leicester at home and Leeds away. Terrific. Those are terrific matches. So
yeah, the only caveat with Chelsea is they are in numerous competitions still. They've got Real Madrid home and away between game weeks 31 and 32 and then 32 and 33.
Yeah.
And then they play Crystal Palace in the FA Cup semifinals. Yeah.
Somehow they're in the Europa Conference League too. I don't get that. I don't get how that worked out, you know, but somehow they're kicking around there too. So
a lot of times.
Yeah, it's crazy. They're in the NCAA tournament, which is crazy. I don't know how legally that even made sense, but you know, they're professionals. But yeah, so there's a lot going on with Chelsea right now, and not to mention the all the ownership stuff that's happening there as well. Mm-hmm. So all right, so that gives you a sense of what's happening in 33, and should certainly keep that in mind with your transfers. I don't want to go through every single team that doubles in 33 right now, because we can save that. We've got, you know, two more podcasts to go before that game week kicks off. But I did want to note sort of a big picture way to think about this, which is that there are effectively two bands of fixtures to come. Mm-hmm. We've got game week 31 to 35, roughly. You know, there are a few slots where matches could get slotted in over the next couple of weeks, but the vast majority of them, these kind of unplagued COVID matches, these FA Cup postponements, there was like a weather match, I remember, with Burnley and, you know, and Spurs, whatever, any number of reasons why these matches got postponed. And most of them are going to happen after 34 or 35. So, the teams that double in 33, tend to be kind of the mid table ish or the kind of European slot, you know, somewhere between like, you know, the teams you'd be targeting are between like 12 and 6, something like that. Mm-hmm. And what we have after that are doubles for the heavy hitters, right? Mm-hmm. So from game week 30 on, we see doubles for Chelsea, Liverpool, and Man City, which makes things tricky because, as you know, Liverpool, you got to have Salah. That's just a given. He's having an unbelievable season. I think you can make an argument for, like, if you're on a wild card, for going with someone like Robertson over Trent. But regardless, you want to have a Liverpool defender as well. But I think Man City is trickier because they don't have any matches to make up except for this one, one FA Cup postponement that'll happen in 36-37. And then they play Liverpool in 32 as well, which isn't a great match. Mm-hmm. So, and then they don't double in 33. So in some ways, I would like to have Man City players, but I when I look at my team and the things I've got to plan for, I don't know how I would have them before game week 34. Yeah. You know, it just doesn't really make sense for me.
There is an element of luck slash variance that hits Manchester City fantasy assets more than any of these top four teams because of their the possibility of them being rotated and just how they share the points, because they're all so gifted. They're all going to score goals. So who do you get and cash in any given week? And then, so as I was plotting my wild card, I actually found myself just with Cancelo. Yep. And I think that's not actually a great place to be for my wild card, especially if I'm looking to chase and increase my overall rank. I think City, because they will score a lot of goals, is an opportunity.
Yeah. But
so it's sort of like, where do you want to take the risk? And I'm kind of with you in that if you're wild carding now, it just feels too early to plan for Manchester City.
Yeah,
given just like Chelsea, they're in a fair number of competitions, and when you might stand to really cash in on City is when those doubles come at the very end of the season. Maybe we like put a pin in City until after the Liverpool fixture in game week 32.
Yeah, and I think even then in 33, it's going to be hard to look at all these doubles and pick Man City when they play Brighton as the sole match they have in 33. Not a terrible match, but Brighton, you know, like, they're strong enough defensively that it's hard to imagine that being like a 5-0 thrashing, right? It's just not. If they're playing Leeds or something like that at home, then you'd be maybe more inclined. But once you get past 33, then you've got the Man City. The thrashings commence, right? Yeah, they play Watford at home, Leeds away, Newcastle at home in 34, 35, 36. That's triple up territory. That's like burn 4 points to make sure you've got, you know, multiple assets territory. Yeah. So, but that's, you know, that's something that you want to at least keep it in mind. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's an argument, I think, for possibly wildcarding later. I was going to save this for the chip talk later, but just because we're talking about it, I don't want to push everything that we're talking about like 10 minutes on the line here. My thinking about wildcarding is this. Yeah. I don't have a wild card left. You do. Yeah. I think that if you are in a good spot in your mini league, like if you're like first, second, third, you know, in contention, you know, in one of the top spots, I would strongly consider waiting until game week 34 to wild card. Mm-hmm. I think if you are chasing, you know, if you're 50, 60 points behind, if you're looking, you know, if you've got some target, I think you have to wild card early. And the reason why is because the reason to wild card is to pick up as many points as possible. And if you wait until game week 34, you're just not giving yourself enough game weeks to make up the ground.
Not enough runway.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you're going to have to like muddle through three more weeks, you know, and then hope that, you know, because it's like they're not going to stand still either. You know, the like everyone else, they're gonna start preparing for these too. So it may not make up as much ground as you think anyway. Yeah. You know, and so, but I think if you are in first place or second or whatever, then you can let them make up ground. You can take that risk. You know, and then you can basically supercharge your way to whatever starting in game week 34. Right, you can set yourself up with three Chelsea, three Man City, three Liverpool, and then a couple of cheaper players as well. And I think that's really where it could come in handy. But I think if you do it when you're down, it's just too late for that to really make a big difference.
Yeah, specifically looking just at game week 31 happening most presently, I think a lot of us are perfectly set up for game week 31. Barring, you know, people who have Jimenez, but that's just one transfer you have to make. So, I'm in that pack where I'm chasing and I want to act. I agree. I want to act sooner rather than later. Yeah. But if I wasn't in that position, my team actually feels pretty good for 31.
Yeah. Right. Cause I mean, if you wildcard, it's going to be hard for you not to drop Kane, right, to fund Mo Salah. But I mean, you don't really want to drop Kane before a home match in Newcastle, right?
I'm not even convinced
he's a, yeah, go ahead.
He's my captain right now, pre-wildcard flop. But I don't know. It's interesting you say that. I feel like Harry Kane is almost an imperative on a wild card. He feels next to Mo like the most must-have player at the moment.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I maybe it's just because I don't have a wild card. I haven't built.
You're in denial, aren't you?
No, but just like it seems like it'd be very hard to have a really good team with those two in it.
You don't deny that.
Yeah, because like you throw in like Cancelo, right? Like, okay, that's like the third of your squad, right?
There's not a lot of room, and I think that's where I fall. Where I do on the Weghorst argument is sort of like I've really got peanuts to play with given those must-haves with Cancelo, Trent, Salah, and then you put Kane in there and it's basically everybody else is in the 6.5 bracket.
It's like you almost need to play, you almost need to have Ramsey and Anthony Gordon. You know, it's like, I feel like that's maybe a kind of lineup I would consider, right? Would be like a 4-3-3, you know, or something like that, where you're just playing three midfielders most of the time, and then you could drop one of those guys in you know, as needed.
It's not bad. Yeah, looking at my wild card draft here, I've got Kulusevski as my fourth, but Gordon as my fifth mid. Mm-hmm. Replace Kulusevski and just lean on Kane for all of my Spurs attacking points. And then I've got 1.7 there to put into maybe a City player.
Yeah.
Or probably a Chelsea defender.
Right. Yeah, and that's something that, Well, let's hold off on that for one second here, Brian. Yeah. So I want people to think about that a little bit. And so, just you know, do you? It's gonna be hard to plan for both of the doubles. And so, I personally think generally you just have to look at what's in front of you, and then as like FPL strategy, you've got to look, you know, three or four game weeks ahead. But if you look more than three or four game weeks, you can sometimes just like fail to see the forest from the trees, you know, and you're so focused on like the big score that you're going to get later on. But the problem is everyone else knows about that big score too. Like in some ways, like the better way to make up ground is to find that Coutinho player sometimes, right? Is to just, you know, like look at game week 33 and be like, all right, if I look at every single squad, you know, all the doubles that take place, who are the two or three players in here who could net me 27 points in that game week? And, you know, just looking right now, James Maddison, away to Newcastle, away to Everton at game week 33, right? Mm-hmm. He could be the guy. May not be. Maybe he gets 2 points total, but he could be, right?
Technically
he,
like, yes.
Yeah, but I mean, like, seriously, like, he's, you could see it, right? Like, he's like, he can be like a little bit of a flat track bully sometimes too, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. I could see him just cleaning up in those matches. So.
Yeah, and you want form medicine. It's like, yep. It's like, you know, you have those months where you get three paychecks instead of just two.
Yep.
And those are special months. And I feel like that's Madison. Like, you've got to
start. I want to start calling him three paychecks. We need our friend Danny Boyle, you know, Brandon, who used to do some great images for us to do a Madison three paycheck. I don't know how that's all going to work together visually, but yeah, that is who he is.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, so let's move on to I wanted to also just quickly note here, Brandon. It's a much more of a catch-up pod than I thought, but I think this is really useful for people who haven't been just scouring articles and thinking about fantasy too much the last couple of weeks. I know just going through it right now with you, I feel like I'm getting kind of reorienting my brain a little bit. But I did want to talk a little bit about the postponed matches that need to get rescheduled, right? Okay. Because we talked about that a little bit, but you know, when you have a couple that are just a given, these are FA Cup, you know, you would always have these. But in some cases, some squads have, you know, quite a number of matches to make up. And, you know, in Chelsea's case, they have Leicester and Leeds. Talked about that a little bit already. In Leicester's case, we haven't talked about them too much yet. They have the double in 33, but they have two additional matches to get made up as well, one of which is a Norwich at home match. So I think if you're really on the fence about, oh, do I want a Leicester midfielder or do I want somebody else? Just knowing that they're going to have three double game weeks in the final 8 weeks is probably enough to tip you towards, you know, is again why it's so annoying that Rafinha news broke too late for me to move one of the. I wish I just like, you know, throw my hat over the fence and just, you know, brought one of those players. You've got Spurs have a fixture to make up still. They have the North London Derby. Obviously, that means Arsenal do as well. Leeds have a Chelsea match to make up. Like, Leeds are really in the, like, just avoid, you know, after the next two are actually great for them. They play Southampton at home and Watford away. But then they, you know, they blank from there. They still have to play Man City, Chelsea, away to Arsenal. It's just, it's not going to be great. I mean, it's amazing they won that Wolves match because it's probably going to keep them up. But it's,
yeah, I was going to say, I feel like they're 3 points away from just getting on the beach.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Win one of Southampton and Watford, and you might just be able to lose the rest of your matches and still stay up. Villa have two to go as well. Home to Burnley and home to Liverpool. Wolves have one, but it's home to Man City. Probably ignore that. Palace have one away to Everton. Burnley, again, much like Leicester, they have three doubles still to come. They've got this double in 31. They've got the double in 33. And they've got another unplayed match away to Aston Villa still to come as well. And then Norwich, your boys, Brandon, they have one more match to make up too. And
three or four Norwich players, maybe.
And then Watford have one match to make up as well. Everton, and again, every time I look at these postponed matches to be rescheduled, I'm like, I don't remember any of these teams missing this many matches. Like, it's like, how did they, like, there's like, it feels like there was like a whole month where like some of these teams didn't play. I guess Leicester is the one where I feel like I was like, I felt like Leicester went like 6 weeks without playing a match because they're just a host of.
We were just in a cloud of red mist at that time and nothing really stuck.
All right, Brendan, question from Cruden Gold. He says, who are the, I think he's like the only person who got a question in this week's pop-up. There were a lot of similar questions. So I just kind of grouped them into different categories. But
just that said, name alone, Cruden Gold.
Cruden Gold.
Incredible stuff. Yeah. I love it.
He said, you know, who are the top players to target for those on a wild card this week? And I pulled together a few players that I would be targeting a wild card. You're actually strongly considering a wild card, so you can please weigh in, you know, here as we go. But two that stand out are not the sexiest options, but I think Pope and Schmeichel are two that stand out just because you get three extra fixtures for both of them. And Schmeichel in particular is, you know, say what you will about the Leicester defense, but he's been terrific this year. So you can get save points if nothing else.
I totally agree with this take, even though they'll probably let in a fair number of goals. The only alternative to Pope and Schmeichel here would be a premium keeper. And if you're willing to do that and spend that money, then I think Edouard Mendy is probably the way to go. I think what's going to be interesting to see how the wildcard teams take shape in the next couple of weeks is if you decide to go for Trent plus Robertson, how are you possibly going to fit a Chelsea fullback? How are you possibly going to fit Reece James or Rudiger into your defense? Because it's assumed you have Cancelo as well. So then,
if you're doing Kane and Salah too, right?
So that's where I am right now. And Mendy is that Chelsea defensive, I'll use a bad word, coverage. But I think Chelsea's fixtures are so good for the rest of the season that they're going to keep a number of clean sheets. And I want a piece of that. So
you
I think
you could Mendy, get some rotation with Kepa. I wouldn't be shocked me if Kepa played a match or two down the stretch.
I don't get that.
Has traditionally happened, you know.
Well, because when Mendy was at the African Cup of Nations, Kepa had to play, and Kepa's been a cup keeper. But I don't know that Kepa has played a match in the Premier League when Mendy has been in the squad. So anyway,
maybe you're right. I felt like maybe it was more of a thing that happened last season. I guess I'm looking at game week 5, but I can't remember what happened there. Maybe there was a situation or something.
But on the other hand, if you are going to go Reece James, because he's Reece James and he's apparently back in training, and my God, he scores the points. Yeah. Ederson is a way for you to double up on the City clean sheets, Cancelo plus Ederson, where Stones has pulled out of the England lineup for injury today. Who knows what's going on there? So that's an interesting route into those Manchester City points. So, I think we agree. Budget keepers, Pope and Schmeichel, premium keepers to fill out your back line. If you feel like you're missing one of these top four teams, would be Mendy or Ederson.
Yeah. I mean, it's a shame that Mendy is so expensive. I mean, $6 million is just crazy. You know, I feel like at that price, I feel like I want them to be able to get some attacking returns. You know, I guess I like the worry with Mendy is that he's going to I don't know. It feels like he does get more. I think of him as a keeper who doesn't get a ton of saves. Although as Chelsea's defense has like slipped a little bit from the start of the season, it does seem like he's been getting some more of those. Schmeichel's 4.8. With Pope, you're not saving that much money. He's 5.4. You know, he's basically a premium keeper too. Mm-hmm. Except without like the clean sheets that Mendy has.
Yeah, Pope, you're just expecting him to save enough, make enough saves to get him up to that 6 points on a clean sheet, 90 minutes.
I would say, you know, if I were in the position where I would probably lean towards Schmeichel, suppose, with Ben Foster as my backup keeper, you know, for safety. And just because he's 4.8 million, it feels like Leicester have kind of turned a little corner here, doesn't it? It feels like maybe they're on the way back up again a little bit. I don't know.
I don't know. I just think
three. Yeah. I don't know.
That's the perennial issue, not the perennial. That's the issue the last couple of seasons under Brendan Rodgers is Leicester can show up 1 week and look good and then show up the next and be completely invisible.
It's been a very weird year for them. Where are they at? They're 10th in the table. So that, I guess that's where they belong. But look at the form table, 3 wins and 4, you know, so they've definitely, it seems like they've righted the ship a little bit. And now having The Castagna back is big for them as well, because and James and Justin for that matter too. I mean, there's actually some interesting defensive options there that we'll need to start, you know, thinking about with.
Fofana.
Yeah, everyone's back all of a sudden, and it's like we kind of haven't talked about their defense for 20 weeks because there just hasn't been anything to say, nothing good to say anyway.
Yannick Vestergaard is over here being like, guys, anybody, somebody.
Yeah, but I mean, how crazy is that? I mean, so Castagna has not played since game week 20, where they kept a clean sheet at home to Liverpool, and that was the Schmeichel pen save match, and then nothing happens, and then he comes back in game week 30, scores a goal, keeps the clean sheet because he could subbed off before before they concede. And Castagna's the key to everything, apparently. He's the, you know, he unlocks the whole
keys, Stanya.
Yeah. And Brendan, somebody who actually is your boy, I did hear the key, Stanya. Don't think I didn't hear that. Someone who actually is your boy, James Justin, is now back and playing as well, which is great.
Yes, I loved him so much last season. He's looked on the quieter side since coming back. Now, you would expect somebody to be a little timid after such an injury comeback, but he's got the potential to be strong on bonus because he makes a ton of tackles and he can get forward if allowed. So, one to watch. Watch list guy.
Yeah, and you know, talking about, you know, so moving from goalkeepers, you know, up to forwards, and you know, the defenders, I'm not really super impressed with any of the double game week 33 defenders. I mean, it's kind of funny because as we're talking now, maybe it would be a lesser defender that I would be maybe the most interested in, just because they're both away matches, but you could see attacking returns there. So maybe someone like Castagna.
So you go Castagna over Schmeichel, and then Pope comes in.
You could. Yeah. I mean, I don't think Mendy is just, you and I just have never totally seen eye to eye on the expensive keeper thing. I don't know. It's like mentally I can't do it. It's like when 5.5 is like a hard bar that I like can't go over.
Never change.
I never will. But I, you know, so I'm not like blown away with a lot of the 33 options. So I think if I were making a defender move this week, which I may end up doing, I would be strongly looking at the James Rüdiger option. And the thing about James is I'm just nervous. I have benefited greatly from James. I've had him at basically every great moment this season. Like if he has had an attack and return, he's been in my squad. And I just think I might have to get out while the getting's good. Like I just think the back and forth of the injuries, as you mentioned, all of their various cup commitments, you know, they're in the final four as well, you know, just a lot going on. So, but I think, yeah, it's just a little nerve wracking. And so I think down the stretch, I would probably opt for Rüdiger as the safety pick. And I just think it makes the most sense given how many games they have to play. And, you know, if they end up having what looks like back-to-back double game weeks in 36 and 37, that'd be four matches in 2 weeks. Rüdiger is the only person who could even possibly play all four of those, you know, from a Chelsea defender standpoint.
Yeah. I agree. And I think that's kind of it. The only other thing to address is Liverpool and how we feel about a double up with Alexander-Arnold and Robertson.
Yeah.
There's been like an illness that went through Liverpool that hit Milner and Robbo, but presumably Liverpool are going to have a fully fit squad coming into 31. But I agree with you that Trent might not be likely to start just given the matches that are upcoming and if he needs a couple more training sessions.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's, you know, Klopp's injury. I mean, this season in particular, it feels like he's just kind of going for it all the time, you know, and this is, I remember a couple years ago, I remember this, but it was like a random midweek. It was like they were playing Everton in a midweek match. And he was just like, I got to rest my guys. Like, you know, it was like, he just didn't play like half the starters. And I think they still won. But this year, I feel like we haven't seen that version of Klopp. I feel like he's kind of going with the strongest 11, if you can pick them.
Yeah. Once we get through these particular injury concerns with the Liverpool fullbacks, they just feel like the best bets. You saw what you said about Reece James. And, you know, there is Cancelo, of course, but I can't think of any other premium defenders who just offer a more certain points return than these two guys.
So I'm strong. This is Connor Roberts erasure. What's happening right now, Brandon?
Sorry, Connor. There's only one Robbo, as far as I'm concerned, and he's Scottish.
Yeah, I mean, outside of maybe James, if you're willing to take the plunge, right? He'd be the one kind of massive upside. Yep. Yeah, but I agree. I mean, because the thing about those two guys is they have a tremendous floor. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, I think if, you know, it may just be, especially if you've got a Kane Salah squad, if you're on a wild card, it may just be impossible, honestly, to have, you know, all of those guys, you know, have two of them. And would you at least consider the possibility of going with a Joel Matip? I mean, he has played quite a lot. I mean, he's not an every week dude, but, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, he started, what is it? Let's see, eight of the last nine. You know, it's Konate has come in a couple times. I think the last one he missed because of like he had an illness or something like that. That's the only reason he missed the match. And, you know, I mean, it's not like you're getting any kind of attacking returns from him, but he's got 13 clean sheets on the season, one goal, two assists. And he's only 4.9 million. So, yeah. You know, he's so cheap that you could kind of take the risk. He's not going to come sub down in the 70th minute, right? So it's like if you have a reasonably reliable fifth defender, then, you know, maybe he makes some sense there.
It could work, but it smacks of that FPL move that's too clever. And it doesn't work. So yeah, that's my fear.
With my Wolves defenders right now, I got too clever with Aitnori and Kilman, you know, several weeks ago. And it's just like, it's dumb. Like I hate it. You know, it's like, what am I going to do with these guys? You know, it's just super annoying to get stuck there. So yeah, I hear you. I mean, you know, if you really can't swing it, then I do think that Van Dijk at 6.8, is definitely an option, and it does offer more attacking threat than Matip.
Sure, yeah. Van Dijk becomes the Rudiger option. The Rudiger, like, he does get far up. He is a cavalier center back, and that is appealing. But yeah, I don't know. If you can stretch to the fullbacks, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised. It's been quite a while since Rudiger's gotten an attacking return, because I agree. I mean, it feels like he's always there. He really probably should have. I don't know what his XG and XAR on the season were, but it feels like he should have more than two goals and two assists in the season. I think that's what it is. Is it two goals, three assists? Yeah. Two of those assists came in one game. Yeah, Leeds match.
It was just like dodgy penalty calls.
Yeah, it's great. Brendan, when it comes to the midfield, we've talked about Salah already. We did talk about the possibility of Sancho, maybe flipping him to Havertz. I think that's a conversation we can have more in the coming weeks. I think I'm kind of with you that maybe it does make sense just to go for Havertz right now. I may even look at my own squad and see if there's a way for me to do that with my Gaming 31 transfer. But I think the player that we haven't talked about that I think would be crucial if I was in a wild card would be Saka, who has been terrific for Arsenal. And I know, like, the first week you had him, you were getting a little frustrated. The complaints were coming through.
Yeah.
But he has since delivered.
I mean, he scored a goal and got some bonus points. So, you know, there's that.
11-point return. Yeah, it's pretty good in a blank game week.
Yes, it's great. Like, it definitely elevated my game week, and I don't mean to be sour there, but I don't think that the narrative has completely changed about in my mind for Saka. I do think he's still a great pick on one of the better teams. You look at Arsenal's upcoming run. Let's see what do they have?
So yeah, Palace away, Brighton home, Southampton and Chelsea in the double 33. They end the season playing Leeds, Newcastle, and Everton. You know, they've got another double to still be played. Yeah. He's got 9 goals and 6 assists, and he costs less than $7 million. It's just, to me, it's like he's like, and they've got a double in 33. Feels like he's like an automatic wildcard pick.
Right. I mean, yeah, I will have him. He's in my wildcard draft. How do we rate him over Martinelli and Odegaard, who would be the other options? Martinelli will probably be a popular pick. Because he is a million plus cheaper than Saka.
He just likes the end product, you know? I mean, I know that you want even more from Saka, but I mean, ultimately, he just has been delivering more this season, Saka has. And it does feel like he's getting in the box a little more. And the problem with Martinelli is that he has a really strong replacement in Emile Smith Rowe, right? Who is just sort of always available to come in for him if need be, or if he's, you know, if his form isn't there. So I think that's what kind of eliminates him for me a little bit. And then I think the Madison Barnes, we talked about a little bit already. I mean, between those two, Brendan, I mean, does between Madison and Barnes, does one tempt you a little more than the other?
Madison would be more fun to have, I think, but I've gone for Barnes in a wild card draft. I think with the Vardy injury, Barnes is pretty integral to them getting the ball, you know, working the ball into the 18-yard box. I mean, Madison's shots selection tends to be 18 yards and deeper, whereas Barnes is going to be getting touches on the ball inside the penalty area. So it's just, I kind of, even though Maddo is fun, he's on set pieces, Barnes feels like he might have better odds in a pinch to get you an assist here, a goal there.
It's like a, it's like the poor man's Raheem Sterling, Kevin De Bruyne situation.
Yeah,
it's like, you get the kind of, it's like, do you trust him to get enough set piece, you know, opportunities for FPL returns, or do you want the guy who's just always kind of in the box and hope that the form is there, you know, which Barnes and Sterling are similar in that way too, where you never kind of know what you're getting.
Honestly, not much in it with the price. Madison is 6.8, where Barnes is 6.6, but I just think I'm going to go for the guy that's, I'm going to bet on the guy who's a little farther forward on the pitch.
Yeah, it makes sense. I guess I'm tempted by Madison. Maybe I'm just like tempted because he scored that nice free kick goal in 30, and it's still in my head.
You want the Hollywood player, don't you?
I can see the goal still. It was such a nice one, you know. And so maybe that's what is throwing me off a little bit. But I feel like he has just had some really explosive returns over the years, and I think in my situation too, where the only thing I have left is a triple captainship. That's nothing else, right? And so I have to take a few calculated risks, I feel like. And I just feel like the ceiling is a little higher for Madison. And that's why he's slightly more appealing for me.
Yeah, I'm seeing 6 returns in 9 matches, the last 9 matches for Barnes. But they're all single-digit returns except for 10-pointer in game week 28. So it's like you're getting consistency but a lower ceiling with Barnes. I buy the argument.
And then forwards, Kane, I think is an obvious one. I think the Kane-Son debate, I mean, it's like we've had it for years now, you know, and it's just really tricky. And you just have to like really have a keen sense of whose form is on top at the moment. And it does, even though Son got the brace in 30, I still feel like Kane is the form option. And yeah, I mean, I know people who are trying to bench Son and going into 30. You know, it was like, really? Like kind of like a free hit. I saw a free hit team that had Son like first bench. So, yeah, I think, you know, Kane's merits are there. I think that, you know, depending on how you set your team up, you could maybe go for Son over Kane. It's not insane. We've all been there. We've all done the Son pivot for money. And sometimes it works out, you know, clearly. Or we wouldn't do it sometimes. But I think in this case, I would try to find a way to fit Kane as well. I think Locke is not bad through game week 33. And I think then you could try to flip him to somebody else. I don't really even know who that would be. It may be that you flip him to like a 4.5 million forward and put that money into your midfield. Like that could be the flip that you do. And, you know, Weghorst, we've talked about him already. Everton, I think, are too unpredictable. And then the other, you know, player that like the least inspiring player, but just the one who I think if you're looking to be different is Chris Wood. Just because I agree with you. I think their 33 double is good. It's just, unless you think he's just washed as a player, then, you know, but if you think he's still like, it's maybe just like, it's been a little fluky that he hasn't done what he has done with like metronomic consistency the last few years, then I think he's one you could consider targeting.
Don't forget about Broja. Broja has kind of fallen out of fashion as a fantasy pick, but 5.5 cheap and does double in 33. And I feel like he's in that realm where you can bench him when Southampton's fixtures that game week don't appeal.
Yeah, he's been frustrating for me because I feel like I missed out on all of the Broja moments. But he's in my squad right now, and I have him starting in game week 31. So I hope he does start. I guess that's my worry now is does he, you know. But he mostly has. I don't know. I mean, you know, I think he will. You're right. I mean, Broja at least deserves a shout. I think it's just slim pickings, and like, you know, it's been a season long issue, and I don't really see any reason to think it's going to get better, really. I mean, so I suppose for that reason, I do sort of like Lacazette because he is, you know, he's setting people up. If nothing, even, even if he is another forward in the Premier League who can't score goals, he is very focused on setting up chances for other players.
Yeah, and he's getting attacking returns, regardless of what they are. They're not quintessential number nine returns, but he's getting fantasy returns. So if you're just, if you're sitting there counting your fantasy points, look to Lacazette.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Two more questions, Brandon, and then we'll get out of here. The first one's about chip strategy. And it's just, you know, we've got a lot of questions on, you know, based on what we know, when would you free hit, wildcard, bench boost, triple captain? And, you know, I talked about wildcard already. I feel like the best option is to just do it now and just start, you know, and then hope you can sort of, you know, pivot enough after 33 to set yourself up. I mean, realistically, you're not going to wildcard and not have a couple Liverpool players. So you're already kind of on the way there. Maybe you even have one Chelsea player as well, right? So, you know, you're not talking about, you know, it's going to be hard to have nine of those players anyway. You know, even probably on a wild card, it'd be hard to have nine. We've all been there. It's like you free hit and you're like, oh, this is going to be sweet. You know, I'm going to have three Man United, three Liverpool, you know, and you're like, wait, that's 92 million. Like, I can't make this work. So, as far as the other ones go, I think a game week three hit for 33 free hit is tempting if you don't already have a lot of players for it, because then you can focus on down the line. But otherwise, I would probably, I hate to say this because it's such a boring answer, but it really depends on the composition of your team. You know, like if you have two players who double in 33, then just use the free hit in 33. If you've got like six already, then I would save it for 36 or 37.
Yeah, and 36 or 37, as you mentioned, are going to feature the heavy hitter teams that, you know, just again, going back to the Manchester City caveats, it's a team where the lineup becomes more straightforward to predict the closer you get to the actual match week. So if you're looking to capitalize on whatever double Manchester City might have down the line, that free hit is probably going to be more valuable, and the upside for the points will be better. I mean, I think the free hit in 33 comes down to how many points do you think Manchester United can score against Norwich?
In the Norwich match, which is like, I don't know, you know, it's kind of tricky. I mean, it's like, I guess Ronaldo's going to play in all these matches now, right? I mean, they're out of all the cups. There's, you know, it's just this. I mean, or they just decide they're going to like save his legs or something. I don't know what they do now. I mean, I guess they're still fighting for a Champions League spot. So they just have to play him every match, I suppose.
I think the problem with Ronaldo's minutes will become when Manchester United are clearly out of the race for top four. And then Ronaldo knows he's leaving the club in the summer.
Yeah.
And then you might not see his face again.
It's still hard to look at the table because of all these unplayed matches, but Man United are 4 points back of fourth. Arsenal do have a game in hand. They're in the fourth spot. Really, it's just a race for fourth because you've got Chelsea who are 9 points ahead. I mean, 4 points is enough that you have to really go for it, obviously. So, so at least at 33, you'd think that he is playing. But I think puts everybody on the table in terms of, you know, Sancho, Bruno, et cetera. I mean, it's an interesting question this actually might be something to think about when you work backwards with your transfers is who do you want to captain in 33? Mm-hmm. Like if you aren't going to captain Bruno, and you're just going to go for like this, like a James Madison. Like, I'm just going to kind of, you know, like just to pick somebody, right? Like, I think then, yeah, maybe you just don't worry about it, right? If you're not going to captain Man United player, I'm not sure it's worth kind of rearranging your team to fit them in.
Yeah. Remember what Liverpool did to Manchester United? Mo Salah, captain, game week 33. Let's run it back.
Right. So speaking of Liverpool, they, you know, when it comes to the triple captain option, they have one match still to play, or one, you know, one extra match to make up. Mm-hmm. And that's a way to Liverpool, or excuse me, way to Aston Villa. Mm-hmm. And so whenever that match gets locked in, 36 or 37, we assume, that's when I will be playing the solid triple captainship. And the worry there is that if they lose to Man City in 32, they may focus more on the Champions League. It could just kind of, you know, there could be some concerns there. But you know, if Mo Salah is going for like, you know, the goal scoring record, which is definitely a possibility, or you know, his own goal scoring record at least, then I think they're just going to play him in those matches. And so, you know, like in 37, it's possible they play like Southampton and Villa. Like that would be a really terrific triple captain option. Even if they play Spurs and Villa in 36, yeah. I think that's a really strong double.
It leaves us with the bench boost chip, Josh, when I think the answer is play it whenever. I would advocate. I think this is a perfect moment to just holster the bench boost until game week 38 for funsies. But there will be a single game week where you feel like everybody on my bench is pretty good fixtures. Got a fixture dilemma. Just play it then. I don't think the doubles are really going to impact the bench boost because you're probably not going to have a bench full of doublers, you know?
Yeah. I mean, in theory, you could wildcard in 31 with an idea towards bench boost in 33. The problem is when you wildcard in 31, you're also going to want to be focused on game weeks 36 and 30. Like you're going to, we want to focus on players who don't double in 33. So it does take away some of the appeal there, I suppose. Yeah, I think I would probably still advocate for benching and, you know, or for bench boosting in probably 33. I don't know. I mean, it's very team dependent, obviously, as it always is. But I think that 33 or 36, 37, those are the three that I would target. And it just sort of depends on what your team looks like.
If you have an opportunity to get Joe Gelhardt in the mix on a bench boost for game week 33, you take that opportunity.
Yeah, well, sadly, you know,
Leeds don't even play.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the worry. Some of your bench might not even be playing in those doubles. So interesting.
So that brings us to our final note for this week, I guess, or thought. And that's that there actually is a game week right in front of us, Brendan, here at game week 31. You know, we talked about the doubles a little bit already. And yeah, I think the captain options are option C. That's a new word that I made up on the spot. Yeah. I think it's pretty straightforward. I think it's Mo Salah, Harry Kane, or possibly Son. Those would be your top three right there. I don't really think anyone else is, you know, I mean, Man City do play away to Burnley. I guess you could throw like a KDB or a Cancelo or something into the conversation. Yes. But that wouldn't be my top like three.
Yeah, Joe Cancelo for all those crazy people out there who want to captain a defender. But I'm with you. I wouldn't complicate things. You probably have Salah or Kane or Son.
Yep.
And I think the it's Salah number one.
Yeah.
Kane number two. So you were talking to me about how right before we started recording, Egypt is in the midst of a really high stakes World Cup qualifying two-legged tie with their AFCON rival, Senegal.
Yep.
So certainly wait to see if Mo comes out unscathed from that match. I certainly would hate to see anything happen to him. But that's really going to impact transfers and captaincy choices. If for whatever reason Salah becomes a doubt, then Harry Kane.
Yeah, I mean, if Egypt lose to Senegal again, like in high stakes, they're up 1-0, you know, going to this match on Tuesday. But if they lose again, that's I worry about his psyche a little bit too. But you know, he seems like a pretty
resilient,
you know, resilient fella. So, so I expect him to play. I think the stakes are too high at this point. You just don't take any match off when you could win the league this sure. You know, this close to the end of the season. So, I think he'll play. I think he'll start. I think that they'll win handily. Clearly. And, you know, and I think that, Kane, that's another one for me. I don't have him. And now I want that match to be over already, you know? although I actually have three Spurs in that match, I'll have Son, Kulusevski and Doherty. I've kind of gotten away with not having Kane so far. I've gotten away with it. I captained Son in 30. He got away with it. Yeah. You know, he's only honestly been hot for like 5 weeks. And I had him on my free hit in 27. So it was really, I think, just the 29 that it was really hurt not to have him. So, he looks terrific. I think he's very very captain friendly option. I think the other matches, we talked a little bit about not focusing on Game Week 33 defenders. I think the Chelsea Brentford is a great match. Again, you've got international matches, although for most countries, the bigger, like the countries that have already called for the World Cup, they were just playing friendlies, right? Mm-hmm. So I would expect someone like Rudiger to be ready to play on Saturday. I guess Portugal is the other trickier one, not super relevant fantasy right now, because I don't know how much we own outside of Cancelo, their players, but they have the Macedonia match, and now it's Portugal versus Macedonia, Italy, man, crazy. And so they play North Macedonia for a World Cup spot on Tuesday. And so that's a huge match, obviously. Keep an eye on anything that might happen there.
Speaking of internationals in Denmark, Christian Eriksen for Brentford scored his first goal for Denmark after coming back from his cardiac arrest.
Good
on
goal,
his first
too.
Touch, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I still can't, 5.5 for a player on Brentford when their first match coming back from the break is away Chelsea doesn't feel great.
No, and I don't think they have any doubles to come. It's like if we're going to have him, it's going to be in game week 38 when they play Leeds at home to end the season. And, you know, it's possible that they've already qualified. They're already going to stay up for next year.
Yeah.
I think that's already pretty much a lock.
It's a lock. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that could be like a really fun open match. I mean, I heard rumor today that Rafinha has already kind of agreed with Barcelona for really? Next season.
Interesting.
And that he's going to be basically looking to make that move over the summer, which, you know, is awesome for him and a massive bummer for all of us Rafinha heads who love to watch him play. But so that could
they're
be
really
like
cobbling
real
together quite the squad of Premier League rejects over there at Barcelona, and seemingly working at the moment,
I
right?
Know. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, Ferran Torres was good, like that. You know, it's like I feel like if you were in any other team but Man City, there's no way he's moving, you know, to Spain. Although maybe he forced it. I mean, we don't, you know, who knows? Like maybe he just got, you know, homesick or something. So, so I think that, there are some fun matches that take place over the next couple of days. It'll be really interesting to see how that all shakes out. But there we go, Brandon. I think it's kind of simple. Otherwise, I mean, it's not simple at all. That's why we had to cover so much ground in this week's podcast. But there's, you know, if you have any questions, find us in the Slack. If you're a Patreon supporter, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Send us an email, DM, hailcheaters@gmail.com, so you can email us. We're obviously on all the social networks as well. I'm kind of doing the social stuff early, but I'm doing it, you know.
Perfect.
Back to bringing the bottom to the top. And thanks everyone for listening to the pod. I'll do the producer thank yous, Brent. I'll just jump right into it.
Thank you
to Mike DePietro, Trevor Ingerson, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Daffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Dave Wagner, Lodahl. I'm like listening. If you're listening to this podcast in 1.4 speed right now, Brandon, I just
like
turned
the
it up to 2.8.
Man.
Yeah, exactly. I'm doing double time in real time. Where was I? Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Travis West, Victor Farber, Skogang, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, FPL Merch, Kerry Swanson, Karen Screeton, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Mikey Yuang, Bruce Kerr, Sam Shower, Rich Evans, Future Media Group FPL, Ben Sweeney, George Kinney, Shiv Majoria, Rom Frost, AJ, Jeremy Spiker, Lazarus Chinos, Jesse Halstead, Matthew Becker, Colin Robert, Tad Byerly, Alper Paxoy, Martin Opseth, Lee Hickman, Vulgar Paulson Kruger, Jazz Binning, Francis Moore, managed by Lasso, James Keatley, Keegan Walsh, The Saint, FPL Pessimist, and Zircan.
All right. Hoku forever. That's what I'll say.
Thanks, everybody. Good luck in Game Week 31. Bye.